Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have in studio with us today Amy Sutton. She is the Executive Director of Hastings Family Service, and we are chatting it up in September, and there's no rest for the weary, right, Amy Sutton?
Well, exactly. How is it September already?
I don't know.
We just had the most amazing school supply
distribution. Tell us.
It's my favorite program because it's just one of those things where, you know, the kids are just, they get to shop for items just like they would if they were at a Target or a Walmart. And so the smiles, and then we have volunteers, Tony and Phyllis Riley, who have an ice cream machine.
Oh my gosh.
Get to leave with an ice cream cone. And I just feel like it's just such a great feel-good program. We have a lot of volunteers who come in, and that might be the only thing they volunteer for the year, but a lot of them are retired school teachers. Oh. They come back to see the kids. It's just such a great program.
So they know how important this program is.
Yeah, and it was busy this year, so we're not quite finished. We usually distribute for 4 days, and we added a fifth day last week. We do appointments every 15 minutes, and we had, so far, 289 kids come through from 130 households. And the other thing that we really tried to get out this year, we've always taken leftover supplies and things that we have excess of out to the schools. And this year, we worked with Community Ed and just getting the word out to teachers to let them know if they wanted to stop in after the distributions, they could come and pick things up. And so far, we've had 39 teachers come in to grab some supplies. The middle school, the high school, all of the elementaries.
Doesn't that really say, though?
Some preschools. Well, I think, you know, we know that teachers take on a lot. They really do. They care about the kids enough that if they don't have what they need, they go out and get it themselves. And they shouldn't have to do that. And so if we have excess in items and there are things that they can use, that's the best use for that. So we tried to open it up this year and really promote that and had almost 40 teachers come and get some things.
That is awesome.
So it was really good. It's less for us to store. And to be honest, we would usually take a lot of it out to the schools anyway. We'll probably still take packs out to the schools. We give some things to the area preschools. You know, if we get extra paints or something that isn't going to last for a really long shelf life type thing, we'll take those to the preschools because we know they can use them. So it's just trying to make use of everything that comes our way. There's so much generosity in the community. It's also one of my favorite programs because you just see kids walking in with, you know, a backpack and they've gone and they've filled their own backpack, and but then they filled another one for a classmate. And so kids have gotten involved, and it's drives everywhere. The churches did a bunch of different drives. I can't even name them all.
It's wonderful.
When I start to try naming things, then I'll miss somebody. And I just want the community to know that every single one of you who made an effort to help us with that program, it really impacted a lot of kids and families.
That's so great. And where does that number that you served this year, where does that stack up against other years, Amy?
So I think our highest year pre-COVID, we had a 300 year, so we're right about there. But it's really been ramping back up over the last 3 years. I think last year we ended at 260 or so. So we continue to see a little bit of an increase there. And we keep that set up for the next week or two anyway, so that if there's anyone who missed it, who needed it, that kind of thing. And even through the year, you know, we let schools know that if new children move in, that kind of thing, we're available. We have things. We store it readily available so that we can always fill a backpack and help out with supplies.
Oh, that's great. You mentioned storage, and I know that your facility has grown, but you have actually had some infrastructure challenges with like roofs and different things. How is that going? We talked about that last month.
It's kind of like, you know, whatever space you have, you fill, right?
For sure.
That's the way it works. But yeah, we've been trying to stay on top of it. I mean, I've learned more since we've gotten these buildings about contractors and, you know, where to place an outlet and what to do if water starts coming through the outlets or the the light fixtures. So we knew when we bought 311 in 2022 that the roof was not going to last much longer. And so we did have to replace that this summer. And right after we had it replaced, we had this very fluke thing happen where our building is attached to another older building that had some holes in the structure, and we had a crazy storm that came through and everything came sideways. It went right into those holes in that structure, came down the walls, and came out on the floors under the walls. Ugh. We just put a new roof on, had the biggest leak we've ever had. It was not the roofer's fault. They came back in and really helped us figure it out and clean it and work with that other building as well to make sure that that doesn't happen again. But it's just one of those things, right, that you just have to figure out. But it's an unexpected thing to come in and see water coming under the walls. So I don't know. You know, it's just like in our houses, there's maintenance that has to happen. And like, right. It's not my favorite part, but we make it happen and do what we need to. And we have such tremendous, great people in town. John from Atlas Roofing really came in and did a great job for us and went above and beyond when we had that happen. So, you know, we just really appreciate all of the people that we work with.
You know, you have an important mission, and so you can't be distracted from that. But I bet you were when you saw water coming in.
A little bit. You know, gravy. It's hard to just move everything away from walls, and then you have piles everywhere. Mm-hmm. And right before school supplies
exactly.
was not great.
Right.
So,
right.
But, yep. you know, again, we just have great volunteers, great people who just immediately jumped in and helped
awesome.
Us out. So that's how it all works.
Tell me about Rivertown Treasures. What's going on there?
Well, let me tell you first, we're doing some back-to-school, summer clearance things, that kind of thing. One of the things that happens during school supplies is every child who comes in also gets a coupon for a free clothing item or shoes at Rivertown Treasures. So we combine those things. And we've been busy with, we've also done kid lunches through the summer. And so that landed at almost 1,000 kids receiving kid lunches through the summer. We handed some more of those out at our school supplies distributions to get kids to this week where they get to start school. We were lucky to be invited to the back-to-school resource fairs at both the middle school and the high school. So I staffed the middle school one, and just it's just so fun to see the kids excited about going back. And, of course, we have our own little Kate, who is a staff member's daughter, who's going into fifth grade. So it was very fun to see her and her friends and how excited they are. So that was fun. And now with Rivertown Treasures, as we head into the fall, you know, the thing that changes is we see this huge uptick in the middle of the summer, right, of need for food, really just need for help, because at that time, the food in your pantry needs to increase as your kids are at home. In addition to that, daycare costs go up for a lot of people. And so then now at this time of the year, we see that go back down a little bit.
Okay. And does that help families a lot? Do you see that change then in your need?
We really do. We see a change in need that happens. For example, our July food numbers from June to July, it went up by over 1,000 individuals and 675 households just from the end of June to the end of July. So it's the need in July was much bigger because they kind of get through school in June, right, and are kind of getting acclimated. But then in July, that's when there's just a huge need hit. So July and August are very big months for us. But I also think it's just sort of a sign of the times. I was doing some analysis today, and we've had over 252,000 pounds of food already distributed through July. You know, last year, by the end of the year, we were at about 460,000. So we're on track on pace to really go well beyond that at this point. And so far this year, we've helped over 17,000 individuals. 17,000. That is from about 7,600 households. So it's just, the need has certainly escalated over the past years. It's big. You know, and I just think it continues to be that the cost of food remains high. I think that there are other things now that are increasing as well. You know, it's just hard in Hastings. The city's in a tough spot with the PFAS, and there isn't anything they can do but increase utility rates or water rates. But those things, all those little things, impact families.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it's added up, then it becomes a big thing. So for us, that's what we're looking at, is just how do we continue to try to stay ahead of those things. We will be looking at Project Share opening in October already.
Wow.
So it's hard to believe that that's already coming. So, you know, hope people will pay attention to the website and stuff. We'll put the first days of registration out on there, but it will be early October. And we're just going to keep looking at volunteer needs. We certainly have additional volunteer needs right now, especially in the food shelf, where we are looking for some regular folks. If we have people who could do weekly shifts, we're looking for Tuesday afternoons and Thursday and Friday morning shifts. And we need substitutes everywhere.
And what does that look like, Amy, the volunteer needs in the food shelf?
Yeah, well, our afternoon shifts go from 12:30 to 4. Our morning shifts go from 9 to 12:30. So we really have two shifts a day. And what we try to do each shift is to have at least 3 volunteers on who come in on a regular basis. Because some of them are helping to restock, some of them are helping with the in-person market, and some of them are helping with the drive-through, and all those things are happening simultaneously. So we really just, over this past year, went from having 2 volunteers per shift to having 3, again, because of the growth in need, because we've increased the number of appointments that we're able to do each day. So it just takes more volunteers. So when we have those regular people to help, that really makes a difference. But we're also always looking for substitutes. So we still need substitutes in our food rescue pickup. That's driving the big mom van to Coburn's or Cub or Walmart or Quick Trip and picking up some food. That happens in the mornings. And we are looking for a weekly Rivertown Treasure person on Friday afternoons as well.
And what would that entail, please?
Friday, it's a 12:30 to 4 shift.
Okay.
I'm thinking about Saturdays, which I should mention as well again, that Rivertown Treasures after this coming Saturday, September 6th, will not be open on Saturdays for the near future. Now, having said that, we're looking at least one Saturday a month. So, for instance, we will be open on September 27th because it's Fall Festival downtown, and we'll want to be open for that. We'll be open the weekend of all the Halloween activities, right? And then we'll be open at the end of November for Small Business Saturday. So kind of the end of each month, we'll make sure that we're open for Saturday. But we just, we don't have the staffing for it right now. And again, because of the need, I really need to have Mary, our store manager, be there Monday through Friday. So until we can stabilize some staffing, that's just what we have to do right now. So we're making some hard decisions, but mm-hmm. We're going to take each day as it comes, and then we'll tweak things now, and when we can tweak them back, we'll do that. But it's busy. It's very busy right now.
Well, and isn't that always, though, what you've been able to do, Amy, is respond to what the needs of the community are?
It is, and you know, one of the things I hear people say is, well, I work during the week, and that's the only time I can get there. And so that's where we're going to try to make sure we're still available some Saturdays, but we're also trying to look at, you know, do we stay open a little bit later on a Thursday? How do we do that in a different way? Mm-hmm. And so we just want people to know that we want to provide access and be as available as we can, but we really also at this point have to be laser focused on basic needs to make sure that we can manage all of that. So the goal is to just continue doing what we do without a reduction in services.
Mm-hmm. Amy, I know a lot of people need different kinds of services. What are some of the things that you can't help people with?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, the hard part, I think, is that we have limited resources. So when somebody comes to us and they're a couple of months behind in rent, or their utility bills have been not paid for a while, we don't have huge sums of money that can just take care of those things. And that's one of the areas, because we know as of January 1st, we've lost at this point half of the financial assistance that we typically give out. And so we're diligently trying to find ways to replace those dollars, but it really means that we're having to look at changing the cap that someone can get, the total amount that someone can get. We really have to look at what will solve the issue. For instance, if you can't pay rent and you haven't been able to and you're not going to be able to, we can't come in and pay rent because then we're just kicking the can down the road. We are an emergency organization. And so what we're trying to do is solve the issue. So if it's a temporary thing, suddenly they had an unexpected medical expense or something happened and they just need a little bit of help to get through to the next month, those are the types of things we can do easier. But we really just, we can't do those giant dollar amounts because that isn't what we have.
That's good to know because I think a lot of times people think that you can solve all their problems and you can certainly help with the basic needs.
That is the hard part. And, you know, the great part about the community is because people know about us, mm-hmm. they send people to us. And that's great. And we want people to continue to do that because even if it's something that we can't do, hopefully we have resources that we can then refer them mm-hmm. on to. So our goal is always to have a lot of partners, a lot of resources. But I would say right now, everyone is kind of struggling with the same things. And I think it's going to get harder before it gets better as far as, you know, there's an escalating need at a time where there's also an increase in costs and a decrease in resources, which is a trifecta of difficult. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, we want people to know that we're there. All of our programs are still operating. If there's any way at all that we can help, we want them to give us a call. You know, everything starts with a phone call. So 651-437-7134 is really the first step. You'll get through to one of our volunteer receptionists who will then get you to the correct person. And, you know, we're going to take it one day at a time. I don't think it's doom and gloom. And I think we're in a better position than most places because we are in this community. And this community just, it's neighbors taking care of neighbors and they surround each other with love. And that's what it takes.
Well, we really appreciate this great information. Thank you so much, Amy, and keep doing what you're doing. We really appreciate it. Amy Sutton is the Executive Director of Hastings Family Service, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.